This is LabCast, insights and ideas for the expansion stage senior manager, hosted by OpenView Labs.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to this episode of LabCast. Today, we are joined by entrepreneur Jason Cohen, founder at WP Engine, a premium WordPress hosting provider. He's also a partner with Capital Thought, mentor at Capital Factory, and founder and former CEO of Smart Bear, Inc. Jason, how are you doing today?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being on. I want to let our audience know this is actually take two. About 6 weeks ago, you called in for a podcast. Everything went great. And then we had what we in the industry call a podcast fail, where we lost the audio and unfortunately weren't able to publish that. So thanks very much for graciously agreeing to come back on and chat with us again.
Sure.
So first thing I want to talk about, the company that you were, first known for, I guess, was Smart Bear, Inc. And Smart Bear was a peer code review tool, and you also wrote a book on peer code review techniques. So my first question, I guess, is, what does this mean, peer code review, and why is it important?
Well, it just means people reviewing each other's work, just like authors and editors do, and for the same reasons, to catch problems and train new people how things work here. If teams are physically distributed, it's a good way to keep in touch with certain things. Or for parts of the code base or parts of your process that are more risky, where you want to spend extra time on quality. So, for example, if you're in a feature freeze and just fixing bugs, it's really important not to introduce new ones at that point, and you might want to spend extra time not throwing new bugs over the transom to QA. Or, for example, maybe a core library that's used by the whole application, you may want to spend extra time to make sure that stays nice and tight and intelligent and scalable and documented and everything else, whereas something on the periphery maybe is less important. So it's a tool. Some people literally review every line of code they ever write. And then, other people say that's excessive. But there's usually some amount of code where it is not excessive or some scenario like when you have a new hire and you're trying to bring them up to speed, mm-hmm. where it's exactly the right tool to do whatever you're trying to do there.
So for SmartBear, this was sort of like a software product that was designed to build better software products and best practices, right?
Well, it was just to facilitate code review, because the problem is you can waste a lot of time on it. The traditional Fagan-style review involves printing out code and going to meetings. That obviously takes a lot of time. So although a tool cannot magically make the code good, and a tool furthermore can't even find bugs or make developers smarter, there's a few ways in which a tool can certainly save time or aggravation. So for example, by integrating with version control, you don't have to find the differences in the code yourself. You can just say, I just want to review this change set or something like that. Or as another example, if your company requires reports, like how much time did we spend on code review and what did we find? Did we fix them or delay them and blah, 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 all that kind of stuff, the tool can write that report for you, which is obviously nice. So there's certain mundane aspects of it a tool can help with, and that's why people use our software.
Now, you were a developer and you've been a consultant in the past. Did this idea behind SmartBear and also just a peer code review in general, did that come from sort of your own experiences seeing a need for something like this?
Actually, no, not at all. The company SmartBear, it got started with a product called Code Historian, mm-hmm. which was a data mining tool for version control. And my big idea was that version control was write many, read never. That is, there's this big corpus of interesting information in there about which files are changing and when and who's touching them and all this stuff. And you don't really look at that history. There's not a good way to visualize it. There's not a lot of information you can glean with the normal tools. So you pretty much just use it to make sure that two people don't stomp on a file at the same time. And that's about it most of the time that you use version control. And so I thought there's a bunch of interesting data there. It turns out that there probably is not that much interesting data there. That wasn't a great idea. But what happened was people were using these code visualization tools as part of a code review process. And I didn't understand that at first. And so I got these feature requests, which I thought were very strange. So someone would say, hey, I'm looking at this set of file diffs, and that's cool. hey, is there a way for me to export these in some way, like a PDF or something? I thought that was bizarre because I was thinking, no, you got it all wrong. It's an interactive tool. It's got data. It's got graphs. You don't want to do that. But I said, okay, and I allowed you to export it in an HTML format. And then they said, oh, that's great. I emailed those around, and is there a way for me to write on it and send it back? And again, you know, keep in mind, I wasn't thinking about code review, so I was just confused. But as you can tell, like, my customers literally pulled me in this direction of, no, we want to talk about the code. That's what we're doing with it. That's the value in it. And so I stumbled upon, or you could say discovered, that would be better for my ego if you said discovered or invented, but the truth is stumbled upon and was dragged into this market for peer code review, which at the time didn't exist. In other words, there essentially was not any software to facilitate code review. That either means it's a terrible idea for a company, that's why no one's doing it, or it's a big opportunity because no one's doing it yet, but people actually want it. And it turned out that it was the latter. Once again, you could say that I was prescient and give me a lot of credit, or you could say I was lucky in that I found it. I'm sure it's a little of both, actually. Nevertheless, that's what happened, and so we became the premier and eventually not the only tool in the code review space.
Well, it's an interesting story, too, because it sort of speaks to, from a product standpoint, maybe you come in with, you know, one idea and you think, okay, this is the way we want to go. This is the market we want to target. And then just by listening to customers and kind of, you know, figuring out what their needs are, it kind of puts you in a different direction. It sort of tests your assumptions. But sometimes that's really what you need to do to kind of create a product that's going to be really impactful.
I think that happens most of the time. I think most of the time the idea you have going in is not the one that actually really works. And by works, I don't mean getting the first 10 customers that you might do on any idea. I mean the first 100 or 1,000 customers, usually it's morphed into something else. And again, like if you look at histories of various companies, you'll almost always find that, or at least you'll find it more often than you don't.
Now, I also want to ask you a little bit about, you know, from a software development standpoint, a product team standpoint, you know, what are some of the, just speak a little bit more about some of the common mistakes that folks make where, you know, a tool like this or just peer code review techniques can really help?
Well, you know, it's difficult to say what mistakes people make when they're writing software. Mm-hmm. I would say this, if you take a new hire and you say, how are we going to get this person to get up to speed in our code base. Obviously, they're going to read a lot of code, but eventually, of course, the only way you learn is by jumping in and doing it. That's also how you break stuff because, of course, that person doesn't know all the gotchas and dependencies and whatnot. And so, you know, one way is to do peer programming or pair programming for a while, which I think is not a bad idea. But ultimately, you want to release them on the code base, let them go, and yet keep an eye on what they're doing so that they don't check anything into any important branch without it being reviewed, and for them to learn and get up to speed. I guarantee you that if you're not doing that now, and if you try it, so for the next hire or maybe a current one that's just getting going, if you try doing code review with them and just feel the speed, in other words, I suppose you could measure it maybe in different ways, although it's hard to measure someone's learning. Mm-hmm. But just see what happens, see how fast they transform into a person who can produce, you know, pretty good code or do trivial fixes quickly and that sort of thing, you know, showing that they're getting up to speed. See if it feels like it goes faster. And I actually feel like that metric, how it feels, it isn't as bad as what everyone says. Everyone wants stuff that's measurable, which is fine if you can do that. But my feeling is that code review is so impactful and makes such a big difference that you should be able to feel it. In other words, if you can't feel it and you need detailed metrics to see the little change, then I would say don't do it, because that's not a big enough change to warrant this pretty significant change in your process and definitely a significant use of your time. It better be a massive change to take that much of your time. So I say try. That's a good, you know, again, scenario where it's hard to make the argument that you shouldn't do it in that scenario. And if you just try it, you'll see for yourself.
Now, to switch gears just a little bit, here at OpenView, we invest primarily in younger companies at the expansion stage, but we also create a lot of content for early and startup stage businesses. As far as for a young company goes, when it comes to building a product team, what are some of the things that you look for when it comes to building that team out in those processes?
Well, I think it's been said before, but I think that Joel Spolsky, smart and gets things done, is really is the two things to look for in a new team, because every single member of the team has to contribute, you know, Herculean, in a Herculean way, you know, as much as two other people might. And you might add a third thing, that's culture. So once you have a team of 10 people, the culture is set. Hopefully that's because you've hired for culture and, in fact, fired for culture. But as they say, even if you're not controlling the culture, you still have one. And that's, of course, why you want to control for it. But when you have a small team, just one or two or three people, the culture is not set. And so you kind of want to know what your goals are there, and be careful with those first few hires that they're going to match it. Because even one person out of three who doesn't fit, it will cause a lot of strife.
Now, before we wrap up, I'd also like to ask, I mean, in your experience, are there any things that many young companies you think could do a better job at when it comes to product development? Or are there certain strategies that you prefer that you would recommend to businesses as far as, you know, finding success?
No, because it depends on the business completely, and it depends on your goals with the company. It depends on the team makeup. It depends on a lot of things. I don't think if there were a magic bullet way to produce software that other people wanted to buy and make all the correct trade-offs in terms of which features to do and whether to fix that bug and how to interface with the customer and how to get the word out, if there was magic bullets for that, then it would be easy to do startups. So no, I don't think that there's one thing.
Well, Jason, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with us today. Before we wrap things up, I'd love to give you a chance. You know, we've talked a lot about Smart Bear and Peer Code Review, but also like to give you a chance to tell us a little bit about some of the things you're doing now, WP Engine in particular, and you know, how people can find more from you and more information.
Sure. Well, you can find me on my blog, which is blog.asmartbear.com, and you can find my contact information there too, or A Smart Bear on Twitter. So about 18 months ago, I started a company called WordPress Engine, WP Engine. And it's a premium WordPress hosting company. So if you're sick of self-hosting, or you're about to move off a cheap hosting thing and it's time to get serious, or maybe it's your company homepage is WordPress, and so you care that the thing is fast and that it has good uptime and doesn't get hacked and gets upgraded automatically and all that kind of stuff you'd expect in a managed service, that's us. So we're kind of like Heroku for WordPress.
Very cool. And is that WPEngine.com?
Right.
Excellent. Cool. Well, thanks very much again for taking the time, and hopefully we can do this again sometime soon.
Sure. Thanks.